But today's subject is peace. Just like to read you a little story though before I get into peace, something that might be a challenge for us all, well, for me anyway. One day, a man went to visit a church, and he arrived early and he parked his car. And as he got out, another car pulled up near him. And the driver of that car told him, "I always park there, you took my place." The visitor went inside, and I would imagine the church service was similar to this with the youngsters. And the first part of the service was like a Sunday school. And he went in and he found an empty seat. And he sat down. And a young lady came up to him just after that, and she said, that's my seat you've just sat in. You took my place. The visitor was somewhat distressed by this rude welcome, but he said nothing. After Sunday school, the visitor went into the church sanctuary and sat down, and another member walked up to him and said, "That's where I always sit. You took my place." The visitor was even more troubled by this treatment, but still said nothing. And later, as the congregation was praying, and they were praying for Christ to dwell among them. That's a good thing to pray for, isn't it? That is a good thing to pray for. But the visitor, he stood up, and his appearance began to change. Horrible scars became visible on his hands and on his sandaled feet. And someone from the congregation noticed him and called out, "What happened to you?" The visitor replied, "I took your place." That's quite a challenge to us. Now, I know Jesus hasn't turned up in a car and got out, but there's a principle there, isn't there? There is a principle. I wonder how many times we've come into church or gone somewhere and we've said to someone, "Oh, that's my place you're sitting in." Does it really matter? It doesn't, does it? But what does matter is that the Lord Jesus actually took our place at Calvary. And I wanted to bring that up, if you like, before we start looking at this subject of peace, because I think it's very important. It's so easy, isn't it, just to talk about, well, the Lord Jesus, he died at Calvary, and we just take it sometimes as matter of fact. When I don't believe any of us really can even begin to imagine the cost, the suffering that he went through for me and for you. And he came, didn't he? He came to die on the cross for our sins. And he brought us with his precious blood. And he went to heaven, and today he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And it's wonderful, isn't it? Because he's coming back. He's coming back. See, once he came in lowliness, and that's what we're going to discover again this Christmas, isn't it? But soon he will come in glory. May we just bear all that in mind as we look at this subject of peace. I thought I'd better look in the dictionary and just check the word peace and see what it says in the dictionary. And it says calm. That's good. That would make sense, doesn't it? Calm, quietness of mind, freedom from war, undisturbed. I thought those were all good names for peace. I'm sure many of you have looked or picked up the Lennon Fields House Barnabas little booklet, and I noticed on that when I read it. It's funny, isn't it? It's almost like when my oldest boy Mark and Sarah's wife, they bought a new car because they needed a new car for when the baby was born, because the one they had before only had two seats. And he texted me and said, "Oh, Dad, we bought..." It wasn't brand new, but it was newer than what I've got. I can live with that. He said, "Dad, we got a new car," and he told me what it was. And I thought, it was a Peugeot, but I'd never heard of this particular model before, so I had to get on the internet and have a look and see what it was. And you know, once I'd seen it, I realised every day at work I walked past one on the way into the office. It's strange, isn't it? It is strange. Here we are with Lennon Fields' newsletter, their little booklet, And I had a read of it, and it says this: we are thrilled. And it's funny, because I was looking at the subject of peace, I kept on seeing things with peace in them, and that's why I've picked this. We are thrilled to be able to say that in general, House Barnabas is a happy house. Well, that's good. That's good, isn't it? Often guests come away from a stressful work situation. They take a few days to relax, but many speak of peace they find with us. Peace they find with us. A lot of you probably know, every year for quite a few years now, we've been to North Wales for our holidays. I love it in the Snowdonia National Park. From the cottage we stay, don't matter which direction you walk, you can disappear into the trees or up onto the mountains, and quite often you won't see another person for however many hours you want to walk. Now, if you go up Snowdon, you will see a lot of people. All right, because that's very popular. But to me, that is peace. All right. But I am actually a little bit wrong. I'm going to read you... I was actually talking to my daughter, Jo. She's home with us after being away for 5 years. She's come back and graced us with her presence. So we don't have peace at home anymore. But but I said to her, she said, "What are you doing, Dad?" I said, "Well, I'm preparing for a few Sundays' time, and the subject is peace." And she said to me, she said, "Oh, there's a story," and she almost recited it word for word. I said, "I've got to find that," and you wouldn't believe it. I went on the internet, typed in the subject, and thousands. The first one I opened was this. So to me, that's God saying, "You've got to say." I could not believe it. It says this: "There once was a king who offered a prize for the artist who could paint the best picture of peace. And many artists tried, and the king looked at all the pictures, but there were only two that he really liked, and he had to choose just one between them. One picture was of a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror for peace, peaceful towering mountains." I'm sure you've seen it quite often in the church diary. You can see I'm hooked up on mountains and lakes and the shadows they cause. I need to maybe move away from it, but that's the sort of thing I like. So the lake was a perfect mirror for peaceful towering mountains all around it. Overhead was the blue sky with the fluffy white clouds. And all who saw this picture thought this was a perfect picture of peace. And I would tend to agree with that. I can imagine that in my own mind. The other picture had mountains too, but these were rugged and bare, and above was an angry looking sky from which rain fell, and also lightning played as well. And down the side of the mountain came a tumbling, foaming waterfall. This did not look peaceful at all. But when the king looked closely at this second picture, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in the crack of the rock. And in this bush was a mother bird. And she was on her nest in perfect peace. Which picture do you think won the prize? Don't have to tell me. The king chose the second picture. And do you know why? The king explained, "Peace does not mean a place where there is no noise, or trouble, or hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of those things, but still be calm in your heart. That's the real meaning of peace." And I thought about that. And that is right. I'm sure there's many situations in our own lives where there's been turmoil all around us, or things that are not brilliant, but in our own hearts we're quite peaceful. I remember the time I had to go in the hospital for an operation, and compared with what some people had, this was only minor. But for me, it was traumatic, because the hospital isn't a place I liked. The only time I liked it was when I was going out with Ruth, because she was a nurse. So hospital, it's like going to the dentist. I do not enjoy going to the dentist. But something about this one and only time I've had to have surgery, before I had the operation, I was sitting there in the cubicle waiting to go down to the operating theatre, and I could not understand why I wasn't all tense and nervous and shaking. And do you know what it was? It was because people were praying for me, and I had the peace of God in my heart. And I knew that, As soon as I started thinking about why am I not shaking and nervous and apprehensive and all the rest of it, that was why. Because people were praying for me and I had the peace of God in my heart. And that happens in our daily lives, doesn't it? Or it can do if we let Jesus into our hearts and lives and let him take control. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus has got full control with my life. I wish he did. But unfortunately, sometimes I go off in another direction, and I'm sure we all do. Anyway, during this season, as we think of the Christmas message, peace on earth, many people are unsure, aren't they, and frustrated with life and say, where can we find peace? Well, peace can only be found in the Christ of Christmas. The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 9 and verse 6, his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. And in the same verse it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And it happens every Christmas, doesn't it? The hustling, the bustling, the shopping, the travelling, the cooking, the parties, the banquets. Father Christmas, pantomimes, decorations, tree lights, new clothes. We get caught up, don't we, in the season of Christmas. And I'm sure we're all caught up in it now. Actually, we're doing well this year. Normally we shop just a few days before Christmas. Don't ask me why, but we're a little bit ahead of ourselves. We're not there yet. But I always find it, I don't like shopping, right? I don't find it peaceful. We seem to have busy schedules over Christmas, don't we? And unlimited amounts of additional activities to be attended, to give, to join, to gather and perform. But it happens every Christmas, doesn't it? We are busily tending our own flock, our own families, when out of nowhere the calm and peace and tranquility of Christmas comes. And we're never prepared for it. We're always stunned and amazed. Now, I can only speak for myself. Some of the times I like over Christmas is like the Christmas morning service. That's when I get a lot of peace and tranquility. Now, it was a bit different last year because I think I was taking it. But I really enjoy that. Because it takes us away from the hustle, the bustle, the shopping, the parties, the cooking, the eating and everything else. And it gives us time to actually reflect on what Christmas is all about. It brings a peace. I really enjoy Christmas morning. I'll have to make sure this Christmas I've got a smile on my face. There's other times too. It's a little bit different now. Our family's grown up and left home. Sorry, one's come back. It always used to be strange. Christmas Eve was a strange time because Ruth would be wrapping presents at some unearthly hour of the morning. So I don't think we ever got peace Christmas Eve, but I think it was Christmas Day after everything. After the activities were over, you'd sit down and... And don't get me wrong, it's lovely having everybody there or meeting with everybody, having a family, sharing a Christmas dinner together. It's absolutely wonderful. But it still can be tiring, can't it? It still can be tiring. But what do we experience at Christmas? We experience the awe, don't we, of the nativity. We're going through it, or we've been going through it at Youth Club on a Friday night, the nativity story on DVD. Alright, I know there's a little bit of director's license probably, but it does bring it home. Christmas isn't what we make it. It's not all tinsel and lights and all the razzmatazz. It's actually quite bleak and bare. The only light that comes into it on the DVD is the light from heaven, the star. And I actually like that. I sit there and see this, and it brings Christmas home. It brings home an idea of maybe what it was really like. You see, the nativity is an event that we have never witnessed, but somehow we have this mysterious first-hand knowledge of it, don't we? The shepherds did, and each year it happens to us as well. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round young virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. And I'm sure we vividly see and experience this serene relief of a world with a newly born Saviour. Then we are transported, aren't we, to that nearby hillside where the shepherds are busily tending their sheep, completely unaware that they have been chosen to receive the best news the earth has ever heard. And we join them, don't we? We join them trembling, no, perhaps quaking with fear, as above them the sky is laid open with what we can only describe as glory. It's fine for us, isn't it? Because we've been brought up with it ever since we were knee-high to a grasshopper. But can you imagine if you never knew this was going to happen? Then you were a shepherd out on that lonely hillside, and suddenly an angel appeared and a light and a whole host of angels. Wouldn't you be scared? I would be. I'd be terrified. I'd be terrified. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. With the angels let us sing hallelujah to our King Christ the Saviour is born. And this we can't really imagine or experience firsthand, can we? Neither Bach nor Mozart ever composed music that remotely compared to the songs the angels sang that night. The total absolute majesty that only heaven could produce, suitable for the greatest tidings from a glorious God to his lonely creation. We know it is unfathomable and reserved only for the time when we will actually enter his glory. But we can see the glory in our Lord and Saviour. He is our window, our path to our heavenly home, even as a baby. Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Every year we experience it in a baby's peaceful sleep, in the lull of Christmas Eve, with the lights on and the family in bed. All right, for some of us, that has changed a little bit now, isn't it? But I used to love it when the kids went to bed on Christmas Eve. Not so that I could have a break, but it was all the excitement of Christmas. Whether they ever went to sleep or not, I don't know. I know I found it hard to go to sleep when I was a kid. Too exciting. But we get that fleeting moment, don't we, when we experience, I'm sure, the true gift of Christmas. That all wrapped in peace and laying in a manger. Jesus Christ is not only appointed to reign on earth, but he's appointed to reign in the hearts of men and women. Christ did not come to take away our joy, to work hardship upon us, or make us slaves of fear and men whose hearts are full of misery. He came that he might reign in our hearts and reign there in peace. Jesus said in John 16 verse 33 that in me you might have peace. And this is why he came. This is why he wants to rule our hearts. Not just to rule so that he might be the sovereign and make us do his will, but to rule our hearts to give us peace, to make us joyful, happy people. Paul wrote in Romans 5 and verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah wrote in chapter 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Let us not make the mistake of trying to find peace somewhere else. We'll never find peace until we start trusting in the Prince of Peace. We allow him to reign in our hearts. This is God's remedy for all the problems of the heart. Nothing else and no one else can bring peace to the human heart. Peace was the promise of the angels at Christ's birth. As the Prince of Peace, he came to bring men peace with God, and the daily experience of peace of the heart. Only those who accept Christ as their Saviour will actually truly find peace with God. And it's necessary commitment of our life with Jesus Christ as the ruler of our lives. When you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit will give you joy and peace in the midst of your trials and your troubles. And you can start now by being willing to give up your sins, by receiving Christ in a simple, childlike faith. 1 Timothy 1 says this in verse 15, "The joyful news is that Jesus saves. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." There's a little quote that I found, and I want to close with this, and it's entitled, "They Missed Him." They missed him. They were looking for a lion. He came as a lamb, and they missed him. They were looking for a warrior. He came as a peacemaker, and they missed him. They were looking for a king. He came as a servant, and they missed him. They were looking for liberation from Rome. He submitted to the Roman state, and they missed him. They were looking for a fit to their mold. He was a mold breaker, and they missed him. Will you?